Welcome back to the Unending TBR podcast. It's Nicole again, but today I am joined with two other special guests, and I cannot wait to dive into today's topic. Thank you for joining. Let's get to it. Okay, so this week I'm here with two lovely ladies. I'm here with Kelly and Carrie Cotton. Thank you for joining me, ladies.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Yes. Okay. So Carrie, please, would you share with us your writing journey? And we'd love to like ask you some questions about your books and your upcoming release.
Sure. So, I've been writing probably like a lot of writers since I was very little. I think my first book was called Amanda Friesel Fruzel. And it was about a girl with a really weird name. And so high school, and when I got to be a parent, a lot of my writing fell by the wayside because I was busy doing other things, good things. But it was probably when Twilight came out, honestly, that I thought, hey, for kids, and she wrote a book, and maybe I could write a book. And so I had my head, so I started working on it, and it was sort of a different idea. It was had a girl with a superpower in it, and so I thought in my mind that in a like a godless world, not negatively godless, but just without faith, like not a bad novel, but just like a secular novel. And so I tried to write it, and it always just wouldn't work out. I just couldn't get it to work. I couldn't get all these things to piece together. So I put it aside in years. And it wasn't until 10 years later, after I started it, that we had made this massive move in our lives. I had come to a different point in my life where I really had was forced to surrender a lot of things to God. And the story kind of came back to me again. And I was like, I guess I'm just going to have to give this to you because I can't do this. And within 3 months, I had the first draft done after that. And since then, I continually have to surrender this, take control of it. And things that I think people will like, or that I think, oh, this will sell or whatever. But I keep having to come back and remind myself that in all things that I need to put my focus on glorifying God through a gift that he's given me, and sharing gospel, because truly nothing else matters. We do for the kingdom, and all that sounds great. You know, it sounds very churchy, but it's a struggle. It's a struggle that I have to continually preach to myself and remind myself of. And so it's still an ongoing journey, but that's kind of the short, longish version of it.
That's great. So for your books, Carrie, what, and oh wait, okay. Kelly, feel free to jump in whenever you want to about like certain questions or anything like that. I just have like a list of questions that I'm used to doing it. So if you want to ask questions or clarify anything, go for it.
No, you're keep going. Okay.
Okay. So Carrie, what do you feel for your particular brand of story, what category or blend of genres do you feel best describes your work?
Oh, that's always really been really hard. I think the speculative probably fits best. It's really difficult to label them in the platforms like Amazon, because it's not really fantasy. Mm-hmm. It's not really mystery and suspense. It's got a little bit of both, but I think speculative, which in itself is sort of a blend of genres. I think speculative can cover a lot. But it's not historical. It's not, doesn't have fairies and things like that. So labeling it as fantasy is I feel sometimes could be misleading. But I think some people who read it do consider it fantasy. And so it's kind of in a little subset of genres, but it's akin to like Frank Peretti's type of writing or Ted Dekker. It's kind of in that genre, which I think is labeled as speculative. So that's what I would say.
I know we've had that conversation, Carrie, before. I think I'm remembering now a message. I think I was getting ready to post about probably The Huntress, and I remember messaging you like, "Hey, what genre is your like? What do you want me to call this?" And I remember us going back and forth, and we're like, "I don't know. It is. It's very unique in a great way."
Yeah, well, The Huntress is even harder because it's not even set in modern times. It's set in medieval Scotland, which is like, but it's not, I don't want to call it historical fiction, but what is it?
It's historical speculative.
Yeah.
I mean, I really enjoy books that kind of push the envelope between genres. I like genre mashups. I like trope mashups. So to me, it's like, do you feel like sometimes there's like an overdone, like, do you feel like we need to have, nope, lines need to be drawn between this, that, and or other? Do you think that creators should be able to branch out and be creative with even the limits of their genre?
Absolutely. In fact, my Instagram tagline for a long time was, I write what I want. I mean, I think you should be able to write what you want. I'm not a big fan of the formulas. I know they have their place and it helps to make a story that readers are comfortable with what they're expecting, but you can throw in surprises there. But I definitely am a big fan of write what you want. Just write the story.
And somebody who had to discover those new genres sometime, right?
It's funny, as a reader, I don't even really, I don't know. I know some people are very like genre specific with what they read, but I don't know. I've never been that way. It's always just, I like good stories, and I think a good story is a good story, and it doesn't really matter. For me, I never really even think about like where does this fit until I start posting about it, I guess.
Yeah, I'm the same. I'll read pretty much any genre. Maybe the one that I try to stay away from just because I don't want to have nightmares. And then anything that I'm just, if I know a book contains something that is too much for me, then I'll stay away from it. But I enjoy all the genres, really.
Yeah, good storytelling is good storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
So, for your n latest one, or researching in general, what do you find is the most interesting thing that like totally caught you by surprise when you were doing your research for your books?
Well, okay, so for my original was locations, distances between places, just because it was set in modern times, it was a lot easier to know what people would say and how they would act and what things look like. But for the historical, for the Huntress, I was time period was the hardest for me. And I didn't know that there was so little information on the time period that I chose. I originally had gone with like 400 AD. And because in my mind, I was like, oh, I'm going to bring in the real life Guinevere into this. We're going to have this whole vibe. I'm going to throw her in there. But then I realized how early on in history she appeared and how very little information there was. And so I was like, okay, we're going to go a little later. But there were certain things I wanted to happen. I wanted to. That really did happen in history. And so nailing down the Because when I finally settled on it happening because of historical things that happened at that time, there were also not yet castles. So I couldn't have a castle. And so I was like, well, this really throws a wrench in my plans. I have this whole scene planned out. And so, even though it's fiction, trying to keep it within the bounds of the actual world we live in and the history that we've experienced, it's not accurate as in a lot of ways, but I wanted to keep the general idea of what would have happened at that time. And so, luckily, I have written pieces and had done research, and so they helped me a lot. But language was probably a very interesting piece of it, trying to research how a person who doesn't speak English might say something in English. So that was an interesting little quest to go on, I guess.
Side research quest. Oh,
Yeah.
funny. I know. I feel like also sometimes authors like get so, I feel like that can be sometimes a hang up. Like I was just listening to a podcast episode where they're like, all of the things that you could learn about a certain topic or a timeline and stuff like that. It's like so over, it can be overwhelming, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think I had to get to a point where, like, you know what, I'm just going to write the story and then the next draft I'll go through and try to hit up any inaccuracy. Said absolutely not, was at the time period, the men would have worn like leggings. And I was like, that is not happening. And so the men in my book are wearing pants. And that is just, everyone's just going to have to accept that because I just could not.
I am totally over the men in skinny jeans thing, so I'm there with you.
Like, they're wearing pants.
Oh, so glad you vetoed the leggings. Yeah, that
Yeah,
visual
this is
made
a
it terrible.
progressive village in Scotland where the men wear pants and sometimes the women. So.
My goodness, that is good. Good to know.
So, don't anybody review me.
Two
Like, you
stars for you, Carrie. Two stars. I was expecting leggings, okay? Come on.
I said, okay.
You want men in leggings, you can go watch ballet.
That's right. That's right. Go somewhere else. My men wear pants.
So, with your new book, The Huntress, releasing this fall, what do you want new readers who are not familiar with your work to know? Like, if this would be the first one that they pick up?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a question I've been thinking about. I guess I would want them to know there is an element of speculative. It's subtle. It's a lot more subtle in this book than in my other ones.
Okay.
But the main character does belong to a line of women who have special gifts, and it does come into play in this story. It's just not as overt as, so that's something to understand, that it's not simply a medieval historical romance, you know, novel. There is that speculative element to it.
Okay. That's good to know. So, while time, like this is your other books were in the modern setting, so you have a very different time setting than your first books. What do you find is like a similarity between these stories?
Well, I think people are people, no matter when in time they appear. And so the feelings and the reactions to things, the challenges, the sin, it transcends time. You know, so
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately, the situations are different, but the reactions are the same. I mean, people, abandonment, people feel lonely. People are afraid of rejection, and that's never changed. And people respond to those fears or to those worries and to those experiences in the same way. So writing the characters wasn't that much different for me. And the environments around them that really changed a lot.
That's a good way to put it. So, who was your favorite character to write in The Huntress?
Oh, care to guess, Kelly?
I have so many of them that I love. I couldn't pick, but
Kelly has had a sneak peek at this one, so that's why. I
Yeah, she has.
was like blowing up
Kelly
Nicole. I'm
was.
like, you're gonna have to read the story. You have to read the story when it comes out.
Yeah.
Oh, so
Oh,
good.
Kelly was really helpful too, with some of her feedback. Oh gosh, I think the Tide characters might be my favorite. Two side characters. One is the main character's like best friend, Captain Astrid. And I really enjoyed her because she's really funny. And I struggle to write humor, even though I think in real life, like I like to think of myself as kind of a funny person. But I'm a very serious. Everyone is very epic in their feelings. And so it was fun to write her and to be very intentional about her humor. And then, of course, there's another character that is just so intense. That's a side character. And I enjoyed writing her too. Her name is Reb. There are sort of two sides to a coin, those two. And so I really enjoyed writing them. Just having some of the side characters in there were probably my favorites.
Getting this, I know. I love. There's so. It's so important. Like we say side character, but they always a well done side character adds so much to a story. Looking forward to seeing, how those personalities tie into this book. So, which character do you feel challenged you the most?
I think it was probably the main male character, Duncan. Right. Perfect males. Will Carter. It's hard for me to like give them flaws. And sometimes my female characters, because of that, my female characters end up, and then this perfect man comes along, which we all know is unrealistic. But I think he was a challenge to write, just to give him where his problems weren't solved too quickly, and where he didn't always make all the right choices, and where he said, where he was unsure or weak in areas. So it was difficult to write the main male character not being, that alpha perfect male.
I think there's something to that. Nicole, you and I have talked about that a little bit. It's so much easier to, I know for me, to go hard on my female characters when I'm writing. I don't want my male characters to ever mess up, but my females, I'm just like, yeah, whatever. I'm going to put you through the ringer. I don't know why that is, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm like trying to think. Like I'm just early in my writing things. I feel like I was like really, really hard on my male character, but I was hard on my female character too. But it's hard. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe it's because we identify with the female character and we're just more aware of like feminine weaknesses and thought life and our own experiences. And so like I don't always know how a dude thinks, What's he afraid of? And I have a husband that's very, he doesn't talk about his feelings a lot. So sometimes I'm like, what would you say? Like, what would you do if I was kidnapped by pirates? Like, what would you do? I'm gonna need you to like specifically go through the feelings, and call the police, I guess. It's just,
Yeah. Does he give a good answer?
yeah. Oh, I get a lot of eye rolls. I'm like, would you hang on the bottom of a helicopter, like, and would you like do pull-ups and would you like rescue me? You would do that, right?
Course. The eye rolls are probably because it's like, well, of course.
Yeah, I know. I get a lot of sure.
Okay.
Of course, babe. Like, pretend that you are a medieval king. And so.
Actually probably be an interesting thing to like get like a panel of spouses of authors and find out like what is the craziest thing that you had to reenact for the book? Like it's probably the unsung, resource of
They don't mind acting out the kissing scenes. I
that's
know. I asked him a lot of questions. He was in the army, but he wasn't like special forces or didn't have top secret knowledge. So some of the questions I asked him, he was like, I wasn't that kind of soldier.
Oh, that's funny. So what do you feel like really fuels your creativity, Carrie?
Oh man, I think just real life. I think whenever I do the personality test, I'm like 148% empath. And so, as difficult as it is, sometimes really hard things put me in a space where I can channel that into writing. And I know it's going to be difficult. But it's sort of a cathartic experience, through the writing, you really examine, you're forced to examine your own feelings about things and write them down. The thing about writing is you can write the way that you wish you would have acted or the things you wish you would have said. And sometimes that can alleviate some past experiences where maybe you didn't make the right decision or you didn't say the right thing. And you can sort of find closure within yourself. Through those characters.
Yeah.
And that's
Yeah.
maybe what becomes difficult to make them make not the right decision because you want the best for your kids.
Don't want to
But
be
I
too
think,
hard on you.
yeah, it just, I'm a very much a mood writer, so I'll not write for months and months and months, and then for a straight month, I'll write every
Wow.
very healthy, but I'm a mood writer, and that's just how it is. I have no control.
You've embraced it.
Yes. How it was made.
So what do you really hope? What is your hope that readers take away from your books?
Obviously, I hope that they love the story. That it's something they remember and want to go back to. But I think I hope that they find a piece of themselves somewhere in the book. Even if it's just I can see a glimmer of myself in this character or with something better, if that makes sense. Where and then obviously I hope that which is my overarching goal is that they experience the gospel in some way through the writing. Even if it's a gospel presentation, I just hope that they see the glimmer of God's love and how much He cares for them and what lengths He would go through or go to rescue them. from wherever they're at in their life. And so, I mean, without sounding cheesy, like I really, like that's the goal. And as I read through, you know, edit after edit after edit, I'm always looking for, like, how can we speak truth to the reader through these characters, but in an authentic way, in something that's not a stretch or that I'm forcing into it. To do is not to force the gospel in a story or force spiritual truths. It has to come about authentically and organically. And it's difficult. I think that's probably the biggest challenge that I have, is not just writing the story, but incorporating a way that maybe you don't notice that it's there.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Like, I'm kind of like curious because in my work in progress, there is a strong, I hope it's going to be a strong redemption arc and stuff like that. Do you feel like, and I mean, I don't know if this sounds like weird, do you like layer that in, or does that feel like that's pivotal from the get-go of how to weave in that, or is it just like another part of the story that you have to layer it in? I was just kind of curious about your approach.
Well, I think definitely you layer it in. I think sometimes at the beginning you get it down there, and then maybe you have a checklist of things like, I know I want this character to experience this moment in which she feels this thing or repents from this sin or you know, realizes this truth. And so sometimes it's much more obvious. And then I think the more you read your book and the more you know your character, then you can be a little bit more subtle about it. But I also don't think there's anything wrong with being overt about it. In Dreamwalker, I took a risk and presented the gospel through a character. She said it, and it was an opportune time. It made sense in the chapter for that person to present the gospel to the main character. It was time for it. It came way at the end too. So, but the character had been building up to this moment, building up to this moment. So I think there's places for it to be overt, and I think there's places for it to be subtle. But I feel like, and a lot of people have said this, there's kind of a trend happening in some Christian publishing houses and things, maybe where I don't maybe too much, you know, and I don't want to be ashamed and not say something through a character or have them experience something just because I'm afraid that it won't be received. And not to say that I'm not carefully crafting the story. You know, it's not to see and just toss chunks of truth in there. You know, you have to be careful and weave it in a way that makes sense, but and there's a place for subtle both.
I think
That's
you do
really
that so well, though, like you, and there's other authors that do it so well, because there are times when we're re reading, we all read Christian fiction, whether it's traditionally published or indie published, and we all know those instances, and you try to be gracious, and it happens where it doesn't fit the story, or it doesn't fit the moment. You can tell they're just trying to force it in, which I'm never going to say. We should always present the gospel in some way. If we're Christians, we should, that should be like, the very lifeblood of what we do. But it's such a wonderful thing as a reader when you experience an author that puts it in such an organic way that fits the characters, that truly fits the characters, where it isn't just like a, just kind of a verbal dumping, or like a an info dump, if you will. And yet that you do that in such a great way. And there's authors that come to mind that really do a great job at that, where it's not just like a, Yeah, because you can always tell when an author is putting something in just to put it in, and whether that's the gospel or any other thing, you know, any other view that they have. It's great to see when it's done in an organic way, and you definitely do that. You definitely do that well.
It's a challenge for sure. And I've always thought that Christian fiction has such a place amongst non-Christians, for sure, for hearing the gospel, but also amongst Christians, because first of all, I know Heather Wood says this all the time, but you can never hear the gospel enough. We can experience these kind of vague Christian ideals through fictional characters. Like abiding in Christ is such a, like, what does that mean? What does it look like? And I think through these fictional characters, you can watch to abide in Christ or learn to do these sort of, you know, churchy things that maybe we've always heard, but we really don't understand because it's such a concept that's so foreign to us, or maybe we just really don't get it. But we can watch these characters experience this, watch them what it learn what it looks like in their lives, and then in our own life begin to see, I think I'm starting to understand what that might look like in my life. And so, I mean, I just think that well-written Christian fiction that deals with big, heavy things, and abiding in Christ is the only one I can think of right now, but taking captive every thought and turning it to Christ. Like, how does one do that? What does that look like? And because in fiction we can hear the thoughts of a character, whereas in real life, I can't hear your thoughts. I don't know how you're turning it to Christ. I only know my own thoughts. But in fiction, I can hear the characters watch and learn how they turn it to Christ. And therefore, I can start to do that myself. And so.
I totally agree. Like, I feel so many people like look down. It's like, oh, it's just fiction. But it's like the amount of like fiction books that have like so had an impact, or a character is going through something that's either similar or speaks to me. It may not be in the same situation, but it's like
Right.
those struggles or those thoughts or those doubts and stuff like that is just like, it's still stuff that I, you know, pull back and I'm like, I remember this lesson from this book that I read, you know, 10 years ago. Yes, it was a fictional character, but that keeps on reminding me because I saw their story arc, that the truth that was embedded in that story,
Yeah.
it still matters and it clings to my memory because I was invested. And I just think that that's such a powerful tool and so useful.
Absolutely. So
Okay.
keep writing those stories.
Oh yeah. So Huntress, tell us a little bit, what's your release date of Huntress?
Okay, I'm working on it. I have so many friends that are releasing things in November, and I don't want to like pick the same date because I want to support my friends. And so I'm leaning towards the week of Thanksgiving, honestly.
Okay.
It's my birthday. Come on. It's the best
Okay,
birthday present.
I know it's a risk, but I also know that a lot of people have time to read over Thanksgiving. So
True.
maybe, you know, after the turkey, they might pick up a book. And then that just gives me plenty of time to really try to do it well towards that week. But November.
Okay. In November, we rock.
November. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Carrie, for joining us in this discussion. I love hearing your thoughts. Where can listeners and people who are interested in reading your books, where can they follow you and stay in touch with you?
Instagram is the best place to stay in touch with me and follow me. I'm sporadically active on there. I'm a mood poster, just like a mood writer. Sometimes I don't post for a long time. because I
Same.
just don't have anything to say. So, but Instagram is where I hang out most of the time, and I just really love the Bookstagram community on there. And then my books are available on Amazon. They're on Kindle Unlimited and as well as paperback. And I actually do have the first two in the Dreamwalker series on Audible. And it's going to be on there soon. But my narrator, who is amazing, has now become quite famous. And so I've got. But she is incredible. And there is nothing like hearing your book and life under a talented narrator. I just can't even explain what that felt like listening to them. I was like, oh my gosh, that is Esther. That is her. So yeah, two are on Audible, a third one's coming soon, and then the rest are on Amazon.
Great. Well, thank you so much again. I can't wait for Thanksgiving now.
For all kinds of reasons. Yeah. Well, thank you for having me. This was really fun.
No, this was fun. Until next time, I think we should do this more often.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. We're
Thank
all good.
you.
I'll just press stop recording. Well, I hope that you enjoyed that. I sure did. Love talking, and I cannot wait to read The Huntress. And I hope that you are having a fantastic fall. May. Hopefully, you've found something new to add to your BR because let's be honest, we always hope we never run out of books to read. Until next time, may your TBR be unending.